Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Greetings. Welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Where right now, third quarter, can take a bit of a deep breath. Wasn't quite the blowout that it was a few minutes ago. The Clippers were getting absolutely worked by Utah. They had a 20-point lead, and now that lead has been cut to 12. The Clippers now outscoring Utah so far in the third quarter, make it now an 82-69 lead for the Jazz over the Clippers. Donovan Mitchell right now with 30 points leading the way. Jordan Clarkson with 18 off the bench. Meanwhile, for the Clippers, it's Kawhi with 19, Paul George with 11, but a game that was getting away from the Clippers. They're starting to reel it back in a little bit here, still midway through the third quarter. A lot of time left, and right now I can still say I picked the Clippers to go to the NBA Finals. Maybe after tonight I say I did not pick the Clippers to go, but right now I can say, okay, if they're down, it's still a lot of time left. I'm right with still saying it. Another few minutes, Mike, and I may have to disavow that entirely.
You're just going to bounce away from them altogether? Oh, yeah. That'll make you, you're going to have to leave Los Angeles then.
Oh, I don't know about that. No.
Although, I mean, there is the argument, and I've heard it on local radio, and the question becomes, are the Clippers more interesting and a better national story than they are an L.A. story?
That's, you know what, listen.
I'm just calling it what it is, right? Because the Lakers lost, and what immediately happened is like, all right, what do we do with the Dodgers? Okay, the pesky Padres are there. The Giants are having a fantastic season. And what else happens with the Lakers, right? We brought it up two nights ago, right, when Jason Kidd said, hey, I thanks, but no thanks. I'm not going to Portland. You and I talked about it a bit. I asked Hollins the question of, is a coup being staged? And he just looked at me, and those eyes got wide. He goes, oh, man. Got to think he knows something, right? And you know, so, hey, that's far more interesting than, hey, are you getting beat by Donovan Mitchell?
Boy, you can't stop him. Boy, he's really good. No, there is a ton to that because, look, that's a topic that we threw out there a month ago when it came to the Nets and the Knicks. Right here we're getting into the play. Actually, it was right around the time the end of the season, the playoffs were getting set to start. And look, the Knicks own New York; they always do. And the Nets are a more national story because they have the stars. They got KD, they got Kyrie Irving, they have James Harden. That is absolutely the truth. This battle of they're never going to win in that backyard, but a national story because when you have the stars, that's what we care about. It's the same thing in Los Angeles. Hey, the Lakers are always going to own the town, but the Clippers, hey, they could be a big story nationally because they have the stars, and clearly they have been. If you can cut your niche out like that, that's awesome. But what the big key is going to be, and I'm telling you this, is that let's see how big a deal they are. Because for all of the love of KD and Harden and Kyrie and Kawhi and Paul George, when it comes down to it, if they're the number one attraction in the NBA Finals, is it still the same? Like, if the Nets make it to the finals, do enough people care? Are we going to see such a huge uptick because of these stars? Or is it going to be, well, you know, just because they're talked about a lot, it's a little bit, we take it that they're more popular than they really are. Because we talk about the stars,
it ain't
right?
always about popularity, though, right?
No,
watching is a very popular thing
true,
as well.
But those
three guys are going to bring the pain.
Yeah, but is KD as much of a good of a hate watch as LeBron? Or is it just, well, you know, look, we see it on the TV shows every day and all the daytime shows that want to talk. Well, we can't talk about LeBron now. Let's go in on KD and let's treat KD like he's LeBron. I'm sorry, KD isn't. KD's a great story, but he's not LeBron.
Yeah, but all three of them, it's like the NWO. It's like Hogan, Nash, and Big Scott Hall getting together. You were either fully on board or you hated what was going on and you heard the song.
Bigger
and they
ratings.
Started strolling down. That was it.
Let me ask you this. What would have been bigger ratings in the NBA? If the NBA Finals were Lakers-Knicks or if they're Nets-Clippers? What's the bigger
ratings? No, obviously it's Lakers Knicks.
Okay.
So by far.
All right, so now you're throwing it up there.
Of LeBron takes you to a whole other level.
Boy, I hope that people are rooting for the Knicks going, I've never rooted for the Knicks before in my life. This is amazing.
But that's absolutely what would happen.
But
there's no question, especially all the older folks that don't want any more of this legacy and history talk of LeBron getting another chip. Are you kidding me?
You know, but the thing, though, I wonder with the other players is, as popular as they are, just because we talk about them, do they really move the needle as much as players like LeBron do? You know, like is KD as just be, look, we talk about it because LeBron is out of the playoffs and it's KD, Kevin Durant. What's going on with the Nets? All the drama that's always happened. Just because we talk about him a lot doesn't mean he affects the needle as much as LeBron James does. I mean, for all you say, it's still a LeBron league, man. It is still a LeBron James league 100%. And Kevin Durant is interesting, right? The guy, he's got the thinnest skin of anybody in the game. Everything he hears, he's got to respond to. He got into it tonight, you know, in the middle of the game because he didn't like what PJ Tucker was saying to him. Kyrie Irving is incredibly interesting. He's maddening. He's a wild card. And James Harden is a guy that we've watched him do things in the playoffs and watch him get to the point where you think he's going to lead his team through, and then he doesn't. And now he's not playing. Just because they're talked about doesn't mean that the impact is as much. People care about them as much as they care about LeBron James. So I'm curious to see what an NBA Finals rating of the Nets versus insert team X here, because it could be Utah, could be Phoenix, because as much of a great NBA story as Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell are, is that going to mean the average NBA fan is going to be wrapped up in the NBA Finals? But Donovan Mitchell's great. Yeah, look, I know he's great. That's an NBA Finals for the hardcore NBA fan. The guys are going to watch all the time. So that's going to be your big litmus test. This big three in Brooklyn, is it that big a deal? Is KD and Kyrie and James Harden, are they really that big a deal? And that's the most interesting thing to me in the playoffs, is that as they go on, all the attention around them, does it match what people's real interest level in it is? It's like the Tim Tebow story, right? Tebow's a big, look at this, we talk about him, can he be a tight end, can he not? Everybody starts talking about it during the day, you know, we talked about it. But do people really care that much about Tim Tebow? Or is it just, hey, it's a Tebow headline and, you know, hey, we all know who he is, so we pay attention to it. But is it really that big a deal? Do people really care that much? To me, all the NBA playoffs, now that LeBron is out, the Knicks are out, you're looking at some kind of combination of new teams that could be making it. That's going to be the big thing. Let me see what the ratings for the conference finals and the NBA finals are. Are people going to really care about them and validate the amount of time that is talked about them during the day on shows, nighttime shows? Look, I'm not saying other shows, not us. I mean us as well, you know, because you okay, well, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and they're the story. But are they really the story? Is it that big a deal? That, to me, is the most fascinating part of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess it's all trying to figure out how do we best measure that. Because if you're just going to TV ratings, you know, this isn't the 1960s. Right, we've got other things to measure, other mechanisms by which people consume, and it's generally not full games. I think we're a rare breed anymore. Because remember, the joke for the last 15 years in the NBA was turn it on, you know, an hour and a half into its scheduled broadcast, see where the game is, then set a timer for 20 minutes and check back in if you didn't like the first result, mm-hmm. and then maybe it's a game. Otherwise, insert sitcom rerun here, right? I mean, that's kind of what the NBA had long been. But when you start thinking about all the different social media avenues and the way we consume highlights and super clips and YouTube channels and ex players with podcasts now, I mean, there's just different audiences that bring this together that doesn't necessarily go to the standard broadcast that we've seen, you know, for all our lives. Hell, think about the origins of the NBA when it was on tape delay in the middle of the night, right? I mean, that was the NBA Finals. Johnny Carson would end and be like, hey, now let's go to the NBA Finals. So you've come a long way from there. But it's curious, right? We're just in a weird time, right? Coming out of the pandemic, as folks are running amok, too, because that's the other side of this, too, is you've got to think folks aren't necessarily tied to their televisions. going forward? So are they consuming on apps on their phones? Are we capturing those minutes and that consumption properly? I wonder if there's still some gaps in the reporting process.
For me, it comes down to this. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Is that I look at – I compare this to how it is in the NFL draft, right? Some years, the number one pick in the draft is somebody you absolutely have to get that people are fighting tooth and nail to go get, like Trevor Lawrence. Right, that's LeBron James in this conversation. Right, what you know? Sometimes the NBA Finals, it's a LeBron James experience, and ratings are up, and people care, and that's what it is. And all the other stars in the sport, are they the same? Because there's some years in the NFL draft where the number one pick is still the number one pick, but it's not nearly the same kind of player. Sometimes it's an offensive lineman. Sometimes they want to trade it. Sometimes it's a quarterback, but it's not quite the transcendent quarterback that a guy like Trevor Lawrence is. Sometimes the quarterback is Baker Mayfield. But we spend a lot of time talking about Baker Mayfield because, well, it's still the number one pick in the draft.
Sure.
The NBA Finals this year is going to be no LeBron James. So are Kawhi, Paul George, and Kevin, are they still worthy of talking about them as much? Are they still that much of a conversation mover as LeBron James is? Because I got to be honest, I got a hard time thinking if the NBA Finals is Nets Clippers, let's just say that's what it is. Because obviously if it's Jazz and the Nuggets and the Sixers, that's a different thing. This is where the NBA's got to,
sure.
You got to dig deep and go, okay, you really got to care about Joel Embiid, but ratings are going to wind up being down. But if you've pushed, and we've talked about these five players with the Nets and the Clippers,
sure.
Like, hey, they're still their biggest stars in the game, on par with LeBron. And I don't know that they are. I can't believe the average person is going to be walking around the street talking about Paul George.
Kawhi, we don't know anything about Kawhi. So unless Uncle Dennis is going to spill the goods on everything going on in the Kawhi world, might require a payment of a helicopter or four. But beyond that, and a big mansion. What were the other asks? I don't even remember at this point, but there were all sorts of things that he wanted when Kawhi was, you know, in the free agent
right.
world.
But how many people?
But we
how
don't
many
know.
People know even know who Uncle Dennis is? Right,
well,
like the big time
you can bring
NBA
him to the
fans,
world,
right? And today, an interview with Uncle Dennis. I mean,
well, and again, but your point is well taken. It's the all right, NBA fans versus like NBA fans versus the casual. Hey, it's the finals. Let's give it a few minutes. It's important time. It's winning time kind of thing. Will they know? Not necessarily.
But that's the part is that because everybody that talks on the radio and on TV is big NBA fans, right? Big NBA. We're big NBA, big NBA. We talk about the big stars. They're not all created equal. I mean, you have the big stars. It's Tiger Woods in golf, right? When Tiger Woods is involved, everybody cares about Tiger Woods. Hey, Brooks Koepka is great, right? The fact that he and Bryson DeChambeau hate each other is great, right? But is that really a big through line? Is that something that takes you all the way through? That's why I'm fascinated to see how this turns out in a non-LeBron year when he's out this early in the playoffs, how the other stars can keep it going and keep it through. Because if not, then you understand the NBA still has a lot of work to do to get these guys over. And their popularity, they're really popular with the hardcore NBA fans. And that's a popularity that it seems like it's bigger than it is. Just because you have Bruce Brown trending on Twitter. Look, we have fun with Bruce Brown
tonight.
You know, missed the big shot. But we're not going to do 4 hours on Bruce Brown. Right, we're not going to do that. We're going to pick our spots and talk about what's going on and what went on in this game. It really is something because you're now talking about a non-playoffs without LeBron, the second time it's happened in the past 3 years. And let's see, are those other stars ready to take the mantle of I really care about KD? I really care about these guys. These guys have all been in the league a long time. You know, so I don't know that suddenly it's okay, now I care and I hate KD like I hated LeBron. That's going to be a really big thing for me to see how these ratings wind up going again, where it's the non-big star and the big teams in the big markets, New York, LA, Chicago, Miami, they're all out of the playoffs. They're all gone.
Yeah, we got to find some stories. Let's start making some stuff up. Let's go. Let's find some quote-unquote sources and go to town. At How About a Fresca, at Swollen Dome, if you have some dirt to make these people more interesting. All right, I'm just kidding. But that's really kind of where we're going to get, and it's fun. But hate watching is still a very real thing. Legacy plays, whatever else. But you're never going to match LeBron. So maybe people will just be mad, and they'll tune in to see how many Space Jam commercials are going to be on there. I don't know.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Right now, Utah and the Clippers late in the third quarter. The Clippers have cut this lead to 10. The Jazz lead it 93-83. Donovan Mitchell with 30 points on the bench getting some rest before the fourth quarter. We'll have more on this coming up next, but the big story in sports, it looks like we're going to be getting an expanded 12-team college football playoff. Is there really any good reason to not do it? We're going to break down the reasons people have thrown out so far. This is why it shouldn't be done, and we'll tell you why they're all full of crap. That's next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Early in the fourth quarter, here come the Clippers. A 20-point Jazz lead now down to 7. 93-86. Fourth quarter just underway so far. Donovan Mitchell, 30 points for the Jazz. He had a huge first half. Kind of a quiet third quarter. Did sit a little bit to get some rest for the fourth. But Kawhi Leonard now with 19. And the Clippers being led by Reggie Jackson.
Hey, doesn't fall out. Comes up big.
I tell you, look, Mr. June getting it done right now for the Clippers. It is a 7-point lead. The Jazz lead the Clips. Again, still a long way to go on this. The fourth quarter just underway. We will keep you updated on this throughout the rest of the night. The Jazz could take a big 2-game-to-none lead, or the Clippers could start biting into things. AutoZone has more ways for you to start your job your way. That means getting what you need fast. Some jobs can't wait. That's why AutoZone offers free same-day store pickup. With their free same-day store pickup, you can order online, pick it up today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Some jobs can wait, and that's why AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35. Free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts, so visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Now, in college football, it looks like this is going to happen. We talked to Pete Futak earlier in the show, and he said, yeah, we're going to get some kind of form of this. A headline that came really out of nowhere a couple of days ago and is continuing to gain momentum. In the next 2 weeks, the college football playoff is going to be considered to be expanded. The CFP will consider a proposal for a 12-team format, and when they meet in Chicago next week, this is going to be 6 conference champions and 6 at-large teams. The absolute format of it, teams with byes, you're going to see the first 4 teams with byes, and then they're trying to work out whether you're going to see teams get home field for a game when the 5-12 and 6-11, 7-10, and 8-9 games happen. But basically, hey, here we are getting a 12-team college football playoff. Now, here's one thing. It's a funny thing, Mike, because I was talking with Bernie Fratto about this, our insider in Vegas, is that this has been out for a long time, right? We've had this out for a long time. Boy, you know, we really want a playoff, and everybody has said no, and here we've had no. And we're getting it now. How much of it do you think is to say, hey, boy, we lost a lot of money because of COVID last year? We lost a lot of money, and now we need to find a way to make that up quick. So,
it's certainly part of the equation. That's right. It's absolutely. If you want to do it fast, you implement this as quickly as you can because the broadcast partners are going to fall all over themselves. Absolutely.
So now that we're getting it, and look, that's what we said. The money is out there, right? The money has been worked out, right? That's really what it is for everything. Why are we getting it now? Well, the money's been worked out. Maybe to help get rid of the COVID losses. Maybe we figured out a way for everybody to get a slice of the pie. Look, I get it. I understand it's difficult sometimes. Sometimes it takes a while. I can't tell you how much we wanted to put up. I'll tell you this, because this is a story that's insane. It tells you why this happens in sports, right? This seems like an easy thing, right? We can make more money. And so why don't we expand the college football playoff, right? So 2 years ago, my wife and I wanted to put up a new wall in our backyard, right? We wanted to have to raise the wall and put like a wall topper on it. And, you know, we share the backyard with, you know, the neighbors on our left and on our right. And then the people who are right behind us that we share a wall with. And then there's people on either side, right? So, okay. So if we want to put a wall up, well, we have to get other people in on it. So we have to get our next door neighbor in on it. We have to get our neighbor on both sides. We got to get the people in back of us and the people on the other sides if they want a wall, if they want part of it too. You'd think, okay, well, we'll just go knock on doors and figure out if they want to. It'll take a couple of weeks. 2 bleeping years it took to get everybody on the same page and say, yes, we'll do the wall and we'll split the cost and we'll do it right here. 2 years it took because of things like the people selling the house behind us. They didn't want to do it till they sold the house. Then our next door neighbors said, well, we'd want to do it in our yard. We got to see if we can do it with the people that are in back of our yard. It's like, okay, 2 years it took to finally get everybody on the same page where, okay, yes, we'll have the people come and we'll put up the wall and we'll, you know, have the topper on it and everything is fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes things take a long time because when everything is about how much money you want to spend or what you want to do, suddenly things aren't as, yes, let's go do it.
Well, I can probably actually top that in terms of bureaucracy.
Okay.
We had a small drainage system for our condominium complex, and the slope was down towards our unit where, you know, the first unit, and it would get some water into the garage. You know, when you get one of these big LA rains, yes, nationally, when it rains here, it really rains, and it gets nasty for hours at a time, and it's not built for it, right? Because most of the time it isn't. Well, when it actually happens, it's not good for business, and you get flooding all over. And so we got the HOA to approve the new pit and pump and all of this stuff, and the crew comes out and the inspector comes out. He goes, well, where's your permit for the hole? I'm like, I've just fought with you for 18 months over the size and all of these other requirements that you're having us do, and now you're telling me I got to give you another $1,000 because the sump pump project didn't, you know, explicitly say, hey, and we're going to dig a hole? I thought that was assumed. It's like, nah, we want our $1,000.
Oh, my God.
So there you go. I feel your pain. I feel your pain, my friend. But Twitter. It's the same thing. Everybody's trying to figure out where their piece of the pie is.
Yep. How do I do it?
And how to, you know, make sure that they're properly represented in whatever form this takes, right? Because if you're going to expand the beyond the four, you've already had scenarios every year where at least one conference is getting left out. So now it's, well, how do you safeguard? Well, you can't foolproof it, and the Notre Dame outlier is always going to be hanging out there, which is kind of cool because, well, they're – well, I mean, you want to talk about hate-watching. I mean, Notre Dame is the equivalent of some of the stars in the NBA. So,
yeah.
But it's good that we're actually getting to this point, and it's more meaningful games. So let's go.
All right, so let's take a look and see the reasons why you wouldn't do it. Because, like, look, everybody's on board to do it, right? So I said, you know what? This story's been around a couple of days. What's the next invention of it? Because clearly it's something that everybody wants. Let's see, the fans want it. The players want it. It's a chance for them to sell more merch and maybe get a bigger piece of the pie. Certainly the coaches, the schools want it. They get a chance to be in the playoffs. Certainly TV wants it. Everybody wants it. So let's look at the reasons why not to do it, right? Now, I have culled together the 3 most popular reasons that I have seen on social media today why not to do it. You know, people looking for the anti-take. Here's why it's a bad idea. First of all, everything comes down to you're the old guy screaming, get off my lawn, right? Sure. It all comes down to it's all falls under the umbrella of, I don't like the change. Traditionally, they've done it right, right? I like the way that they've done it for so long traditionally. Wait a minute, we have a playoff now. We didn't used to have a playoff. Okay, so we've changed it. So now that we've changed to a playoff, I don't understand. You're telling me that this tradition that we've had that's been, you know, a few years long of the top 4 teams before we had the tradition of the BCS, which nobody liked before that, which we had the tradition of voting. You like that? You talk about tradition.
The voting that was fraudulent on a million levels.
I mean, really. So that's what everybody likes. I like that. I like the fact that, you know, we have tradition. All right. So let's realize that it's all about, hey, I just like the way it was and I don't like change because I don't want to have to learn how to use a new computer. I like my Dell. You put me on a Mac, I don't know what I'm doing. No, let's just, first of all, Mac is much better. Secondly, so let's go through some of the reasons here. Okay. First one to argue against it is that you're going to water down the playoff. Okay, you're going to water down the playoff. This is an excuse that I believe I first heard in 1995 when Major League Baseball said, you know, we need to add a wild card. And, oh, you're going to water down the playoff. You're going from four teams to 12. You're not going from four teams to 50. You're not letting everybody. It's not the NCAA tournament suddenly, and we're talking about the snubs that we're going to get. It's like, oh, how does Coastal Carolina not get in? How does Syracuse get in at 1-10? Boeheim's not coaching that team. This is football. I can't believe. You're talking about adding eight teams. All right. This is where traditions, as we have seen, have to be okay with going by the boards because you need to keep your sport relevant and moving on. You have to evolve. And evolving in this day and age is more teams in the playoffs. Why? Because it's more interest in your sport. It's more everything. It's more TV ratings. It's more relevance. It's more people talking about you. It's better for everything. It's more money that comes in. More playoffs is more interest. Why do you think Major League Baseball is expanding playoffs? Right? Why do you think the NBA has expanded the playoffs? Why do you think the NFL expanded the playoffs? College football? No. We're going to water it down. All these other sports are saying, hey, the water is fine. Guys, jump in. It's good. We have had more traditions than you've had. You know, you've had more changes to your playoff the last 20 years than we've had. Okay, so just stop for a second. Yes, you're going to water. No, you're not going to water it down. You're letting in good teams. And when you talk about of the top 12 teams that you're going to put in, six division winners and six wild cards, the majority of them have very similar resumes. All right. Usually the top one or two teams in the college football regular season, yeah, they stand far and above the other teams, like Alabama this year. But all the other teams, they're pretty similar.
Right. There's but Jason, you could take it all the way down to the number 19 team in the country. Hell, 24-25. Oregon, 4-2. It's an outlier year because not everybody played the same number of games, didn't get in a full schedule. But even in a mutant year, you had 19 teams, and only two of those had three losses. And those were teams that were evaluated before the season and came in and played and got through. So if we want to go from 2019 and take 5 years of data, you're still only finding one or two teams in that three loss area every year. So how watered down is it truly?
No, is it, if and
any
I
given Sunday?
Look, I would rather say take one 3-loss team if I had to than knock out one-loss teams that, hey, we finished six. Sorry. Yeah, sorry, you finished six. Yeah, you're in the 12. Yeah, too bad. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'd rather have that because if you're a three-loss team, you're going to have to play the best team in the country. And in the playoffs, hey, the best team in the country would like to play a three-loss team. You got to win your way in, right? It's like the NFL playoffs. No one's sitting here saying, hey, you were only 9-7, man. You don't deserve to get in. I mean, the amount of subjectivity in college football is just way too much, right? In the NFL, we know wins and losses, you're in, right? That's all you need to go. NBA, Major League Baseball, everything is wins and losses, you're in. College football is, well, let's see how you do. College basketball is about resumes, but you're talking about, well, we're still going to let in 68 teams, so really, how much can you complain if you're the 69th best team or the 70th best team, all right? But in college football, it's, yeah, we're going to really parse your resume, and we're only going to let the top four teams in. All right. Okay, I get you're doing it, but these other ways that leagues are doing it is a lot better.
And when did you lose? How did you lose? What was the situation? Like, all of that comes into play in college football that doesn't anywhere else.
Oh, and that, it's crazy. That's the number one worst reason you could have to say, oh, we watered down the playoffs a little bit. It's not it at all. 100%.
Oh, that's good too. Yeah.
Number two, and this is a crazy one, right? We have a really big one coming up we'll get into, but this is I like this one, is that, hey, if we go to the playoffs, right, it's going to be really hard for fans to travel 3 weeks in a row to go see their team. Wait, what? So now suddenly, because Alabama fans would have to pick the one game to go to instead of the three, you're talking about the 0.1% of people who are interested in college football. It's going to be really hard for these people to travel. Oh, right. That's why. That's who we have to serve, is make sure the people who are actually going to the games, that's the biggest thing. Because the same people go to all the games. It's the same 20,000 people that go to all the games. So you're telling me, well, if I can go to one, no one else is going to go? No, of course not. That's not nearly a good enough reason. You can watch on television like the vast majority of everybody else does. Suddenly it's the people that are going to the games is a big deal. You're kind of making them choose to go. But I can't believe that's been thrown out as one of the most popular reasons.
Well, I tell you, I would really like to see, you know, what that percentage really is, right, of the tickets allotted. How many are just like, yeah, I'm buying the full kit and caboodle, and maybe there is, right? Maybe there is that percent of Alabama fans, well, because they're there all the time. They're the easy example to bring in, right? Clemson of late and what have you. But the reality is you've now got a mountain of cash. If you should decide to put a fund together to help people get there so you have some level of fandom in the stadium, who's going to stop you? Right? I mean, and especially name, image, likeness, and all these other rules are starting to change. Hell, here's part of the deal with your kid. You'll work for the local car dealer, and look what they did. They gave your parents playoff tickets. who knew? Who knew how it could be? But if they're all playoffs, you're still going to get attendance. And as we've seen, people are now used to a different way of viewing a game. So saying it's not a full stadium doesn't mean a damn thing anymore.
Look, the Pac-12 is still around, and 8 people go to the Pac-12 championship.
But we're watching games in Los Angeles for Clipper games where it's cardboard cutouts, and you're playing Where's Bleepin' Waldo to find the live body in those 3 rows. I mean, come on. It's changed. It's changed. People that are wanting, it's like all of this. Like we talk about with the NBA, people that are in consuming basketball, whatever the level, people that are into college football, they're going to find the games. They're going to join in and they're going to be part of it. And if it's in a town near them, you know what? As long as they can make time, they're going to show up in the stands too. Why? People are thirsty to get back into the stands. Have we not seen this? Come on, man.
Thirsty.
Thirsty. We don't often get to use that term, you know.
None of those reasons.
Different, you know, definitions and all, but hey.
And Mike Harmon is thirsty. He needs some Gatorade and wants to talk it over. He's got a fierce grape flavor that is just out of his reach. There he goes. He pops the top and drinks. And now a timeout because he may burp. We'll get back to it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it, you listen to it, I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yo.
And the Utah Jazz are 3 minutes away from a 2-0 lead as they have now pushed that lead over the Clippers out to 10. It is 113-103. Joe Ingles makes a three. Royce O'Neal makes a three. Rudy Gobert with a three-point play. And suddenly, the Clippers are looking up at a huge deficit. We are counting how many times Paul George touches the basketball the last 3 minutes. So we'll have more for this game coming up in about 10 minutes.
I'm also just waiting for them to hit another shot, but that's a whole other discussion as we continue.
Buddy, you may have to wait a while, buddy.
You may
have to wait a while. They haven't hit a shot in quite a while, buddy.
Jackson. Made field goal at this point came at the 6:37 mark when Reggie Jackson hit a 3-pointer. Since then, just 2 Paul George free throws.
Reggie Jackson, Mr. June, with a huge three. Yes, timeout. So we'll have more on this game coming up in about 10 minutes. But, you know, today was a day that was a real shocker because Russell Wilson met the media after taking part in OTAs with the Seahawks the last couple of days. And he said, listen, I was frustrated, but I've wanted to be here. I'm here. I'm a Seattle Seahawk, and I'm happy. And, you know, yes, this offseason I was frustrated at things, but I like being here. So did Russell Wilson just waste our time when he went on the Dan Patrick Show and said, I don't know about my future, you got to ask Seattle? Storming out of meetings during the season because no one was listening to him? Was he wasting our time because his agent put out teams that Russell Wilson would be okay being traded to? Not so much. What we said in the beginning is where things are with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. He has fired his shot across the bow saying, if things don't change this year, I'm gone. I'll give you this year. Because that was the whole thing about this Russell Wilson coming off the Super Bowl, how upset he was at getting sacked all the time, his future. He wanted to be listened more to. And he basically threw out, okay, I'll give you this year, but if things don't change, then next year, I'm gone. Things got really crazy fast, and neither side seemed ready to say, okay, ready to say goodbye. But now that's been thrown out there. So now, once the idea, you give time to get used to it, if this time next year or after the season's over, they don't let Russ cook and they're running the football more, which is what they really want to do, so this is going to happen, that's when Russell Wilson's going to say, okay, now I need out. I have a lot of good years left in my career. I'm going to be a young 34, and so, yeah, I'm ready to go someplace else. So this was what it was in the beginning, a warning shot saying 2021 is your year to show me you're going to commit to me and we're going to ride on my right arm. If not, I'm going someplace else.
Now, there is the potential out after this season to get into the contract specifics of it all. $26 million dead cap and is what it could come down to, at least from the Spotrac or Spotrac, however we're pronouncing it.
I like Spotrac because it's spot. It looks
well,
spot.
Well, yeah, it almost sounds like you get a Vulcan death grip mixed therein if you can, too. In that same, you know, presser, Russell Wilson talking about, hey, things change. You don't know. Things could happen. I like to think it's just that he recognized as an adult this is the best opportunity for him, for the long play of legacy, one team, his team, and sitting down with the powers that be to make it work. He's setting a great example for some other veteran quarterback who's out acting the fool.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. So all we're doing is now waiting for the next year. What are we waiting for coming up next out of the NBA? We'll tell you, Fox.